Little Duran Duran bringing us back. Nicely done, Elijah.
Hungry leg soul.
I see what he did there.
Yeah, I see what you did. Yeah, yeah.
That's good. Very nice.
Different spelling.
Does me proud.
It's all right, though.
But it works. It works. It plays.
It's A for effort, for sure. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, presented by Curation CBD. Curation CBD products, curated for life. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and Chase McKay with you. No stranger to the show. We used to talk to him when he was here covering the Titans, and we would talk to him when he was in Miami covering the Dolphins. And now we're going to talk to him as he's covering the league for the NFL Network, and he's been paying close attention to the team he used to cover right here in Nashville, the Titans, and he'll be back here on Sunday to cover them against the Cardinals. He's Cameron Wolf. Cameron, how you doing?
Good, man. Good. Appreciate the welcome music. Very
yeah.
on brand.
I mean, not everybody gets Duran Duran, okay? I'm just saying. So you've had a little chance to observe Mike Vrabel and the Tennessee Titans before they kick off their season Sunday at Nissan Stadium against the Cardinals. What have you made so far of what you saw in camp and their three preseason games?
Yeah, I think that this team is there's a lot of curiosity about how the big new piece fits into everything, Julio Jones, right, and how his impact on the offense takes them to the next level. And I think that's worthy. I think that's definitely a big focus. But for me, I think the defense was the reason why they didn't, you know, go further last year, and it'll be the reason why they do or do not go far this year. So I thought it was interesting hearing some of the DBs kind of talk about wanting to play tighter coverage and doing different elements of scheme than they were last year. And obviously it's a big challenge this week with DeAndre Hopkins, A.J. Green, and Kyler Murray and those guys out there. So as much as the focus will be on Julio and A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry, I want to see how these guys have improved defensively.
No doubt, and certainly we do too. Derrick Henry's got an opportunity to do what nobody's ever done before. Nobody's ever gone back-to-back. Nobody's ever done two 2,000-yard seasons in their career. But if there's anybody who could do right. it, it's probably Derrick Henry. And, oh, by the way, let's go on and add an extra game to the regular season as well. How do you think?
Yep.
Because everybody, you know, because we've seen over time, over decades in history and stats of you have a big season like that, you have that many touches, it's just all natural for everything to go down, right? It's so easy to predict yep. everything is going to go backwards for Derrick Henry. I'm not so sure about that. What say you?
I'm not so sure either, man. The thing about Derrick is different. I mean, like, you look at Derrick and you just know that he's different. I know that backs, there's been a lot of questions in recent, you know, years about the value of running backs and whether or not, you know, guys can last for a while or are they replaceable. I'll tell you what, there's not another Derrick Henry out there. There's not another guy you can look at and say, hey, this is something we can use as an example of what Derrick could be down the line. You know, I know they've spent a lot of time trying to manage his workload in practice, and I think that will help. But with a guy his size, I always think that he does more of the punishment than he takes. So I think that he can absolutely do 2,000 yards again. It's, you know, I think the biggest detriment to Derrick may be obviously the Titans having more weapons, and maybe he doesn't get that just because they're spreading the ball more in the air. But I'm not really worried about him wearing down at this stage of his career and not getting it because he's, you know, been banged up.
I know. By the way, are you still in Miami?
I came back to Miami. Yeah.
Okay, so you're still down in Miami.
There. Yes, yep.
Okay. So I got to ask you a question because I was down there the first week of August. I probably should have done this at the beginning, so I'm sorry. I'm a little bit all over the place.
No, it's all good.
We did go to a concert at Hard Rock Stadium while we were down there for a week in Miami.
Yeah.
Why on the – because last year they didn't have fans. They've had 18 months, Cameron. Why are they tearing up the entire parking lot of that stadium right before the start of their season? And, oh, by the way, the Hurricanes play there too. What are they doing?
Man, that stadium is so much change. The one thing business-wise, it's like they use that stadium for everything. They're building an F1, track and arena around there. So some of the construction is trying to build the F1 track around the stadium. So that obviously means moving some of the parking and doing some different things with the lot. And they also just built their new facility in the same area. So they had to move some parking to do that. So it's a lot of change going on there. They're doing everything around that one area. So I think it's less about, you know, redoing the parking and more trying to fit all the other stuff they're trying to do there. And because of that, they got to move some different things around.
Yeah, it's a mess. I wonder how it's going to be for their first home game. But anyway, so speaking of that real quick, before we get back on the Titans, we made our picks yesterday for the season, and I actually picked the Dolphins to be a playoff team, to get one of the wild card spots, to pick Buffalo to win the division. Am I crazy with that pick, or how do you feel about this upcoming season?
No, I don't think you're crazy at all. It's funny, you know, I think that the Dolphins have been a little bit underrated this offseason. I've looked at a lot of the different predictions, and almost nobody has the Dolphins making the playoffs. The Patriots are the hot pick to kind of make it with Mac Jones. Yep. And I get it. You know, I think a lot of that's because of Tua and people not being sold on Tua, and there being a lot of question marks about the Dolphins going after Deshaun or going after another quarterback. So everybody's taking that as like, hey, I'm out on the Dolphins. And I just don't see it that way. I think people forget this team was 10-6 last year and literally lost the playoffs off a tiebreaker. And this was a team that, you know, this is a really young team. So I think their defense is still going to be really, really good this year. And I think they did do a lot to help Tua out by getting him Jaylen Waddle, getting Will Fuller, guys who have that speed. I think the biggest issue for Tua last year was he was, you know, hesitant to throw the deep ball. And that's because guys weren't Alabama open. And now you get a couple guys in Waddle, who's obviously from Bama, and Fuller, who always seems to be open. That should help that, you know, gap to me. So I think they're going to be better than people expect. I think Tua's going to be better than they expect. I don't think they'll catch the Bills, but I do think that I could see them, you know, being a wild card team by the end of the year.
We've went out to Arizona and talked. We talked to Kent Summers, who's been covering the Cardinals forever. And just some of our discussions with people around the team, they seem to be really high, or at least they're painting the picture that the Cardinals and their coaching staff are really high on A.J. Green. Like, for some reason, he's discovered the fountain of youth out in Glendale, and he's going to be back to the old A.J. Green. Are you buying any of that? Do you think he's going to be a weapon at all in this Arizona offense?
I do, honestly. It's weird because we haven't really seen A.J. Green be A.J. Green in 2 years, right? So it's kind of like he fell off the face of the earth. It was like he was putting 1,000-yard season after 1,000-yard season, and then he had back-to-back years where he got hurt. So, you know, you just assume that that downhill trend's going to continue and he's going to get hurt again. But what if he doesn't? What if he stays healthy? Are we going to see 1,000-yard A.J. Green again? And I think that's the question mark. You know, I got a chance to talk to a couple of people out there in Arizona, Chase Edmonds, their running back. And I was trying to get the real skinny, and I'm like, we haven't seen A.J. What does he really look like? And he's like, man, he looks like old A.J. Green. And it didn't feel like he was trying to sell me on anything. He was telling me, and they had a two-minute drill the other day, and, you know, they scored in two plays, and it was a deep ball to DeAndre Hopkins and a deep ball to A.J. Green. So they're really selling up the point that those two guys on the outside are going to get them, you know, a different element of that offense. And Kyler Murray said something interesting this week. He said that A.J. Green's the tallest receiver he ever had, and he said that's going to be a big asset for him, especially being a short guy, being able to just kind of throw that ball up to A.J. So I think that he could definitely be a surprise of the year, you know, come back. You know, I don't think he's going to be, you know, their number one receiver, but if he's a good, you know, sort of counterpart to DeAndre Hopkins, and you can't just double DeAndre Hopkins like you usually do, then that makes that Cardinals team more dangerous.
Talking to Cameron Wolf, and you'll be able to watch Cameron Sunday on the NFL Network and the NFL Game Day morning starting at 8 o'clock Central Time here. It'll be reporting on the Cardinals-Titans game. Cameron, just a quick sidebar before we get back to the NFL. I know you're a Houston Cougar, so big story with the Big 12.
Yes, sir.
And our producer, Elijah, has his vintage Phi Slamajama T-shirt on today, just so you know.
Nice.
But the Big 12,
coincidence there. Yeah.
The Big 12 countering, bringing Houston along with BYU, Cincinnati, and UCF into the Big 12. What do you think?
I like it, man. I mean, it's weird because when I was in school, what was this, like, you know, maybe 10 years ago, all the talk was trying to get to the Big 12. You know, everybody was desperately trying to get to the Big 12, and it just never happened. And now when the Big 12 is at its lowest, we can't finally get in. So it's a little bittersweet. Because it's like, why do we have to wait? and now we're getting in when I'm not sure what the future is for the Big 12. But I think that it gets you a lot of respect, and ideally being in those Power 5 conferences. A lot of times we've kind of been a forgotten school in Texas on the athletic scene. So I think this definitely helps with your respect and your national branding. So I think that makes it a really good move. And honestly, it's good to be able to play in a division with some Texas schools, you know, being able to play Texas Tech, TCU, and Baylor every year. That'll be fun, and that'll create some of those old school rivalries from the Southwest Conference and whatnot. So Oklahoma State as well. So that exciting about it is, you know, those rivalries and being able to compete on a bigger level.
Cameron, I know you were focusing in on what a lot of the media that cover the Titans were cluing in on yesterday at practice, and that is Ryan Tannehill trying to get on the same page with Julio Jones despite all the challenges they've had having a lot of practice reps. So what are you seeing there? And we're all curious to see what that looks like on Sunday.
Yeah, I think what's interesting is I talked to a couple people in Atlanta, and they mentioned that over Julio's last couple years, he didn't practice much in Atlanta either. So regardless of injury, Julio's not really a big practice guy, you know, at this stage of his career. So ideally that means that he can pick up things quickly and you can kind of get things quickly. But, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if there's a little bit of a slow, you know, transition as they start to know each other, and maybe week one and two. I think you got two guys who are veterans. So, you know, they should be able to pick up things quickly once they're on the field. But this feels like, I think, the first true practice week where they're going full together. So, you know, I think it's a little tough of an ask to think that they're going to connect for 15 balls on Sunday when they just haven't really known each other well. So I was seeing him in practice, and I saw some videos yesterday of just him talking, Julio talking to Tannehill and letting them know, hey, timing-wise, I'm throwing a little faster here, or I'm going to break here. And those are things that you hope get worked out, you know, in June and July rather than September. But either way, I think that, you know, the presence of Julio will help AJ, and that should help everyone, and maybe lighter boxes for Derrick Henry. So even if Julio doesn't have big numbers out the gate, defense are going to have to respect him because he is Julio.
We're talking to Cameron Wolf of the NFL Network, and sticking with the receiver theme, I mean, one thing that we talked about yesterday, Cam, was, all right, you know AJ and Julio and what they're going to do. What is the role for Josh Reynolds? I mean, he was brought in from L.A. It's a one-year deal. He was, you know, he had modest numbers with them because of Woods and Cooper Kupp. So when you look at this from afar, what do you think his role would be in this offense?
Yeah, he's going to be the guy who's going to have to beat one-on-one coverage. You know, you've got those two guys on the outside and A.J. Brown and Julio Jones that you're going to get a lot of one-on-one coverage, and particularly against, you know, probably safeties and linebackers most of the time, because they're going to – I figure there's going to have to be some sort of safety shading to A.J.'s side or to Julio's side, and that's going to leave you with a favorable matchup. So I think it's going to be his responsibility, and probably Chester Rogers too, who I think will get some time in there too, to really win those matchups that you have one-on-one. And he did that in L.A. sometimes, Josh Reynolds did, but the thing for him has been consistency. So I think he has some big playability, and that should add an element to the offense as well, where, you know, you could put him in the slot and have him run a go ball and you know, maybe get a big play out of it. So I think that third piece is really an underrated element, because when you have those two big-time receivers, there's somebody that's going to benefit from all the extra attention, and it could be Josh Reynolds.
For whatever reason, there are still doubters of Ryan Tannehill. I mean, there's still that group that just think that he's going to convert to what he was at the end in Miami and that he's going to get hurt again and all those things. What does his season as a whole, in your mind, need to look like for him to finally shut those people up? Or do you think that he's ever really going to be able to shut those people up?
I think there's probably an element of his career that maybe in a lot of people's mind is kind of set. You know, it's hard to change perspectives, you know. But I think the one thing, honestly, that probably would do it is winning. More than any stats, more than any way he plays, it's winning. You know, getting to a Super Bowl, winning a Super Bowl. I think that changes everything. I think for a while we had a perspective of Joe Flacco of who he was and just kind of maybe being sort of that Ryan Tannehill mold. And then all of a sudden he went on that playoff run and won a Super Bowl. And now every time somebody mentions Joe Flacco, they have to say Super Bowl MVP Joe Flacco. And I don't think it changed who he was as a quarterback. I think he still ended up overall being the same kind of, you know, slightly above average quarterback, but the winning changes perception more than anything else. So I think the fact that Derek's here, people will always say that Derek's the reason why Ryan's successful rather than Ryan. And maybe Derek obviously helps, but I think there's an element of Ryan who he finally got into the right offense, the right personnel, and honestly his efficiency, particularly off play action, particularly when it comes to accuracy, has been a lot better than it was in Miami. So I think he deserves credit for improving his own game, you know, this late in his career.
Well, Cam, it's gonna be fun to watch on Sunday. Safe travels back here. It's good to talk to you again, and congratulations once again on the new gig with the NFL Network.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you.
He is Cameron Wolf. Yeah, you too. He is Cameron Wolf of the NFL Network. He's a reporter there. Follow him on Twitter at Cameron Wolf, and you can see him this Sunday on NFL Network's Game Day Morning starting at 8 o'clock Central Time, as he is going to be here in Nashville reporting on the Cardinals and the Titans. It is a big weekend. It's finally here. We'll discuss it all day long. You can always weigh in on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and our phone line 615-737-1025. We'll have more coming here on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.